Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Can Mormons trust the direction and guidance of their leaders? Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. And with me to discuss this question is my colleague, Eric Johnson. There was an article in the March 2012 edition of the Ensign magazine, an article that was written by President Dieter F. Uchtdorf, who's the second counselor in the first presidency, titled, Why Do We Need Prophets? It starts off by saying, because Heavenly Father loves His children, He has not left them to walk through this mortal life without direction and guidance. The teachings of our Heavenly Father are not the ordinary, predictable, run-of-the-mill kind you can pick up in paperback at the local bookstore. They are the wisdom of an all-powerful, all-knowing, celestial being who loves His children. Encompassed in His words is the secret of the ages, the key to happiness in this life and in the world to come. Now, Mormon leaders, especially of the past, have often made it very clear that one of the signs of the great apostasy is that those outside of the LDS faith are not led by prophets and apostles. And that's what sets the Mormon church apart, is that they do have apostles and prophets that guide the church, and as Mr. Uchtdorf says, gives them direction. But what is confusing is sometimes the directions that are given by these same men. The guidance they give can oftentimes be very confusing and nothing more than mixed signals. For instance, in this particular article written by Mr. Uchtdorf, he says, for the people, listen to General Conference with an ear willing to hear the voice of God given through His Latter-day prophets. Are we to assume that God always speaks through these men in General Conference? And if He does, why is it that in modern Mormonism, they don't embrace some of the teachings that were actually taught in General Conference, especially in the 19th and maybe early 20th century? That seems to me to be a contradiction. Now, in this last General Conference, there was a speech or a talk that was given by Elder Christofferson that I thought was another one of these mixed messages. Why don't you explain what we mean by that, Eric?
Well, this is called The Doctrine of Christ in a talk that he gave, and the subtitle to this in the Ensign magazine, page 86, In the Church Today, Just as Anciently, Establishing the Doctrine of Christ or Correcting Doctrinal Deviations is a Matter of Divine Revelation. It's an interesting subtitle, and you have The Doctrine of Christ. And as I read this, I was just amazed at what you're talking about, two sides, because he gets into this first page at the bottom of the third column. He quotes from President J. Reuben Clark, who in 1954, as a counselor in the first presidency, and this is what he writes, explained how doctrine is promulgated in the church and the preeminent role of the president of the church. Speaking of members of the first presidency and quorum of the 12 apostles, he stated, we should bear in mind that some of the general authorities have had assigned to them a special calling. They possess a special gift. They are sustained as prophets, seers, and revelators, which gives them a special spiritual endowment in connection with the teaching of the people. They have the right, the power, and authority to declare the mind and will of God to His people, subject to the overall power and authority of the president of the church. Then it's amazing how this continued on from J. Reuben Clark. He continues on and says,
We should mention J. Reuben Clark was a member of the first presidency during the time of David O. McKay.
Yeah, so. in 1954, this is what he's quoting, but this is what Clark continues to say. Others of the general authorities are not given this special spiritual endowment and authority covering their teachings. They have a resulting limitation, and the resulting limitation upon their power and authority in teaching applies to every other officer and member of the church, for none of them is spiritually endowed as a prophet, seer, and revelator. Furthermore, as just indicated, the president of the church has a further and special spiritual endowment in this respect, for he is the prophet, seer, and revelator of the whole a church. I read that, and then he continues on. But as I read that, I was really confused. And Bill, you and I have read this at least four or five times here, trying to understand what exactly was Clark trying to say. Why was Christofferson saying this? Because he makes it sound like, well, you have these different general authorities, and they all have been given gifts, but the one that's most important is the president of the church, which right now would be Thomas S. Monson, and he has the further and special spiritual endowment in this respect. And so it's a little confusing because here is a man who is an apostle who is supposedly talking with authority. I would think that he thought he had authority as he addressed the general conference crowd, and as you just quoted from the March 2012 ensign, that the general conference is a place where we're supposed to learn true teaching. And it seems like in that quote, it almost takes away from people like himself who are giving teaching, and yet only the prophet has the ability to do that.
That's been pretty much a given throughout LDS history, that even from the times of Joseph Smith, that Joseph Smith had the final authority. And even though Joseph Smith himself said he was not perfect, there was no error in the revelations that he gave. I find in talking with most Latter-day Saints that they are under the impression that the prophet of the church, especially when he's speaking in conference and things like that, giving his talks, that they can pretty much take whatever he says to the bank as being truth. I think one of the reasons why the Mormon Church waffles on this and almost tries to pretend to give the people an opportunity to think for themselves is because they are probably really gun-shy about that title of cult. Because one of the definitions, historically, of a cult is that they have one centralized leader that dictates right and wrong, truth and error for the rest of the group. And basically, you have no right or reason to contradict what he says. So the Mormon Church gives the impression that we allow people to think for themselves. But yet when you look at some of the statements that these leaders have made, it seems like, yes, they are given that, but there's also a qualification. There's a hierarchy of authority in Mormonism, and you, being a lay member, you are not at the top of the food chain when it comes to truth. Again, it goes back to your leaders. Now, Christofferson cites a statement by Joseph Smith.
Yes.
Later on in his talk, which seems to unravel what he's trying to say at the beginning of the speech.
Well, let me show this to you real fast. Page 88, it says, at the same time, it should be remembered that not every statement made by a church leader, past or present, necessarily constitutes doctrine. It is commonly understood in the church that a statement made by one leader on a single occasion often represents a personal, though well-considered opinion, not meant to be official or binding for the whole church. Then he gives this. The prophet Joseph Smith taught that, quote, a prophet is a prophet only when he is acting as such,
now,
end
that,
quote.
That's a famous statement that I've heard many Mormons say. But you ask Latter-day Saints, well, tell me the circumstances of that statement when Joseph Smith made it. Actually, it's out of the history of the church. It's in volume 5, page 265, and this is what it says. This is Joseph Smith writing this. He says, this morning I read German and visited with a brother and sister from Michigan who thought that, quote, a prophet is always a prophet. But I told them that a prophet was a prophet only when he was acting as such. Okay, what does that mean? Now, he cites that as if when a prophet speaks, there could be some question about whether or not he's even acting as a prophet.
That's now, the impression he gives.
Well, in other words, there's a big question mark. But notice how that statement was used in the 1982 correlated manual, Teachings of the Living Prophets, page 21. The prophet Joseph Smith taught that a prophet was a prophet only when he was acting as such. Prophets have the right to personal opinions. Not every word they speak should be thought of as an official interpretation or pronouncement. However, their discourses to the saints and their official writings should be considered products of their prophetic calling and should be heeded. In other words, it makes it sound as if, even if they're not speaking in an official capacity, you would still be wise as a member of the LDS Church to take heed to what they are saying. is that the impression we're being given by Mr. Christofferson in a 21st century context?
No, and so you have this kind of flip-floppy way of saying, well, the prophet has authority, and yet here it could be his opinion, even though it's a well-considered opinion. I think he kind of tries to make it sound like, well, it's a good opinion. But this is the killer on page 89. How am I, as a member of the Latter-day Saint Church, to know when the prophet is speaking with authority? It says, he's quoting here and saying, he quotes from J. Reuben Clark again, and it says, the church will know by the testimony of the Holy Ghost in the body of the members whether the brethren in voicing their views are moved upon by the Holy Ghost, and in due time that knowledge will be made manifest. It comes down to the feelings that the membership receives. Oh, that just feels good. And that's what Mormonism is all about. It's based on this burning in the bosom. I feel peaceful about that, or however you want to put it. And so if what he was saying, if what the prophet was saying is true, you're going to get the good feeling.
But I don't think any of our listeners should draw the conclusion that just because a member in the church disagrees with what a leader has said in the church, that somehow the leadership is going to cater to the membership.
No.
We saw that definitely played out when it came to the Prop 8 situation, the proposition in California for same-sex marriage. There were many Latter-day Saints that disagreed with the position of their own church. Some even left the church over that issue. Certainly, the Mormon church didn't say, or the leadership, Thomas Monson and his counselors say, well, you know, there's a lot of members in our church that really feel that this isn't right. I think we ought to back off. Well, no, because again, there's that hierarchy of power. They are the ones who have the final authority. If you really don't have your own personal opinion, unless it's private.
Have you ever heard a leader say that what he was giving, about to give, was his own personal opinion?
No, I don't think I can recall ever hearing someone in General Conference especially saying, now I'm just giving you my opinion. No, most people, when they are listening to General Conference message or going to firesides or reading books by the leadership, take that to be what they believe to be truth as coming through the mouth or the voice of that that particular leader. So again, I think there's a mixed message here. How do you know?
Well, was Christofferson just giving his mere opinion?
Could be. He's just a mere apostle. But they would say, yeah, but teachings in General Conference are vetted, so they must have been approved by the leadership. That's how they get around it. There's always this plausible deniability when it comes to the authority of the LDS leadership. Always plausible deniability.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. Viewpoint on Mormonism is a radio show dedicated to discussing the differences between Mormonism and Christianity in a loving, gentle format. Sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry, this show's goal is to look carefully at the Bible and determine whether or not the beliefs, as taught by the leaders of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, correspond to truth. Now, whether you're a Latter-day Saint or a Christian, you can contact us and even ask a question that we could answer in a future show. Here's how. Email us at contact@mrm.org. Again, that's contact@mrm.org. And if you're a Christian who would like to financially support this radio ministry, you can do that as well. Just go to our website, www.mrm.org, and go to the right top button called Donate. This ministry cannot exist without the financial support of our friends and listeners, and we are grateful to everyone who plays a vital role in what we do. Again, that's mrm.org. We're glad to be on the air and providing this information to you.